from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Wednesday, November 29th. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you for sending us iTunes reviews. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're putting your Twitter handles in there so you have a chance to win a PFF Pro subscription. That is a great deal that we have going on right now. All you have to do is leave us an iTunes review and put in your Twitter handle, and you could win a PFF Edge subscription, which is a $40 value just for leaving us a review.
And today we're brought to you by Draft.com. We're going to tell you more about that in a minute, but here's the basics. You get to do a live snake draft. It only takes about 5 minutes. It's a true single-day fantasy. You can put down a couple of bucks on it and get a chance at really getting paid. We're doing a league so that all of us can kind of participate together. The name of it is Locked On Chiefs. That's the name of the league on Draft.com. Check that out, and we'll tell you more about it later in the show.
I want to tell you to go take a look at Matt Williamson on Locked On NFL. He's doing a great job covering the entire NFL. He will get you information on the AFC West play or the AFC playoff picture and the NFC playoff picture. And also go check out Vinny Iyer on Locked On Fantasy Football. I know you guys have your fantasy football questions. He will get you taken care of in that regard. We have a little bit to talk about today.
Just a little bit. But we're going to be positive. We're going to have some things that are not the same tone as the last couple of days. But interesting move today. Not what I was expecting, but Chiefs have a new tight end.
Ryan's excited about it, though.
I do like the guy. He's another Georgia guy.
So. Exactly. I know. Just because of where you went to school, you would like it. So,
shout out to my cousins who are both UGA grads. So there you go.
Well, at least you're not talking about KU basketball, who nobody cares about. So,
just Jayhawk Nation, buddy.
Yeah, which is pretty small. So, right, anyway, let's talk football. Orson Charles is the guy that they brought up to take Ross Travis's place. I'm not incredibly shocked by that, but it is a little surprising to me. I wouldn't have thought that they would be going to somebody that's already been on their roster, but I guess maybe they've been impressed by what Orson Charles has done.
Well, and I talked about it a little bit on Twitter on Tuesday, and it brought me to thinking about what are the differences? What does he bring that Ross Travis doesn't? Because Travis is a really good athlete. He was picked up on waivers. So yeah. Other teams value.
But you know by where. I mean, it kind of makes sense he was picked up where he was.
Sure. But it's very clear the teams value his athleticism. And the things that he is able to do, his length in particular, I think he was underused in the jump ball situation, you know, not running fly patterns down the seam, but, you know, that's me. But what Charles brings you is something different, more of a move guy, an H guy. They have played, I believe it was the Bengals that played him at fullback. A little more of a well-rounded.
He practiced there in the preseason, too.
Ah, okay. It goes to show he's got a little bit more of a well-rounded athleticism about him. He can block better. I think that's probably really the thinking behind it in that, okay, you've gone with the six offensive linemen. Cam Irving's gotten some snaps lately as the added guy. It's still not getting fixed. They have a lot of work to do along the offensive line. But this is a guy that I think, instead of going with another huge guy, while – Irving is athletic. He's not anything like either Charles or Ross Travis was. It gives you a little bit more in the run game, especially on the edge. Chipping with him, I think, is going to be an interesting scenario when they face some of the edge rushers, particularly in the AFC West, as this starts to come down to a race for the division. But I think he also gives you the ability to sneak in behind linebackers, some specific zone sit down kind of things that I think are right up his alley rather than the super athletic, long crossing pattern kind of thing that they like to do with Ross Travis.
Well, and you have to wonder if Ross Travis was a John Dorsey pick and if he was influenced by Chris Ballard and who is now in Indianapolis where Ross Travis went. And they just finally gave up on that.
You know, it may be that definitely seeing him picked up in Indianapolis makes a ton of sense because Ballard would have been one of the guys doing a lot of homework on the UDFA class, trying to figure out where they needed him. But at the end of the day, I think bottom line is that the team needed something that they've given Ross Travis and the three tight end set that particular evolution of it a lot of time this season. And it's just not paying off. So go a different direction, mix it up. I mean, it's a position that I don't think you're costing yourself a whole lot in taking a chance at getting some kind of change up that maybe can help build this offense into something new and get it back running in the positive direction.
Well, I guess you're going to be a lot more positive about this move than I will be, because while I get what you're saying, and I'm not saying Ross Travis was a difference maker for this team, but if you think that he's going to change the way that they can play offense, I'm not so sure that I see that. I see that Orson Charles could help Chip, like you said. He's not going to be as athletic, but they don't really need that from that third tight end. It's just really hard to see. And if this is the only move they're really making to make changes, it's going to come up short.
Possibly. I mean, after all, we are talking about the third tight end, but I like the X factor that he can bring that maybe Travis can't because of his size, length, and rather thin build.
Of course you do, because you like the power game.
Right. Not necessarily and power blocking. That. I like man blocking. I like zone blocking. I like all blocking.
Yeah. Yeah, but you like Sherman, and this is more along the lines of bringing in another guy like Sherman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This sets up them to use, which they've used more in recent weeks, some of the eye stuff in an effort to get that going. But when you're allowing penetration between the A-gaps, it still doesn't help you any. I think it's something that we can talk about, and I point some things out. Ran some GIFs onto Twitter last night, so check out Ryan Tracy NFL. A couple of things spacing-wise. Mitch Morse is peeling off of blocks probably a little late, missing some of the calls, electing to allow guys to shoot gaps that maybe in other seasons with a tailback, a little bit more acceleration in the backfield, maybe that isn't a problem. But in this configuration, this team, they're allowing penetration that is blowing up plays in the backfield, and I think that's a big part of the problem. Some of it's spacing. A couple of plays I noticed where Mitch Schwartz has taken some unusually large splits. Again, either telegraphing a gap being tried to run at, or you know, giving them twist and inside maneuvers that the defenses can recognize that and may even spark them to try and do things a little bit differently than they had game planned for. And I think it's all a culmination of little things. And maybe Orson Charles is just another little thing to help get it in the right direction.
Fantasy football fans, listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real-life snake draft, but you're done in just under 5 minutes, and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for week 12 of the NFL season. The best part? Play for cold, hard cash, and get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites.
All the new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right, real money for free just by using the promo code LONFL. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you're going to love it that they'll even offer our listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with the promo code LONFL.
And, of course, you know, because Zach Fulton's playing so well as well. So
there is that. There is that. You know, and Andy Reid's been asked about Iger and said specifically that we're not trying to leave him behind. We're not forgetting about him. You know, maybe it was a significant injury. Maybe it's a slower progress than we thought originally. And if so, then fair to you. When Iger's ready to play, I still think offers somebody a much more athletic and hopefully more adaptive to the offense option at left guard than Zach Fulton does. I had one of my followers point out, okay, he started 4 games. Actually, I think it was 5. He went out in Indy. But, yeah, not a ton of experience, but, you know, a second-day pick, a guy that can help, especially at a position that has been a rotating, you know, sack of
turnstile
sadness. Yeah. So, yeah.
You were just all sorts of optimistic. It's weird.
I turned the page. And it's something the team has to do too. Look at the film, figure out what you're messing up, and move on, because there's another team that's looking to bash you in the face next week. And these Jets, man, they're scary. They got a deep threat that this secondary should be scared for. I hope Revis comes to town and is able to play well. I think it's a huge question mark, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be something definitely to watch.
And there are some things that I think are positives out there as well. It's not just the addition of Revis. We'll talk about this more later in the week. But Bob Sutton kind of got the message. Threw in a couple wrinkles. Experimenting with his sets, with his lineups. One play in particular that I had to put a GIF up because I enjoyed the setup. He had both Benny Logan and Chris Jones out wide. I wouldn't say wide nines, but, you know, definitely outside seven tech kind of thing. With all the linebackers inside, both Zombo, Houston, as well as Derek Johnson in there amongst the guards. And I thought that was great. You can disguise a lot of things with three linebacker set like that. It does leave you really susceptible to the draw, but they elected not to do it. They ran a twist with Zombo and Logan, and it paid off. Frank got some pressure around the backside edge as everybody came down inside with Logan, and I think that's a concept they have to go back to.
They definitely got to figure out what is going to work for them on defense. I think that they looked a lot better, but the question becomes, was it that they looked better, or was it that the offense they were playing wasn't very good? Only time's going to tell on that one. You know, they'll play the Raiders in a couple of weeks, and the Raiders have a good offense regardless of how they're playing consistently. And they got a little bit of news today because Michael Crabtree's suspension was 2 games, which would have held him out against the Chiefs, but it got reduced to 1.
Which means he will play against the Chiefs, and he will have a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, and he probably – and it's possible he won't have his running mate in Amari Cooper. It's yet to be known. He suffered a concussion and an ankle injury on the same play. So he could be out for the Chiefs game. Yes, that's 2 weeks away, but an ankle injury for a wide receiver is kind of a big deal. So we'll see.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he'll definitely be without at least one chain, I think.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Definitely really a guy that gives somebody fits, you know, with Peter's fiery attitude and his. I don't think they're at the level of animosity that he has with Tlaib. So I think they'll be fine there. But, you know, something to keep an eye on.
No, they're not at that level of animosity, but Tlaib's an idiot. So there's that.
It does play a factor.
And where is Tlaib from again?
Tampa. Yeah.
No, where'd he go to college?
Oh, he went to college someplace good. They tried to rehabilitate him. It just didn't work.
Yeah, where'd he go?
Begrudgingly, I have to admit, he is a Jayhawk. So is Chris Harris, though, so give him some credit. But yeah, we're not going to blame that on KU, okay? I don't think he was ever a ref.
Well, you won't. Let's go with that. You won't, but that's okay. KU's kind of got things in, you know, they got their basketball team that's got the police in their pocket, and so – Just take care of the football players, too.
Somebody's got some muscle-itis, don't they? Uh-oh.
Huh?
Nothing?
No. I don't have skulls. No, not at all. Not at all. I just like giving you a hard time about it because it's fun.
Well, we can do that in March, you know, when it matters. But I wanted to mention one other thing that I also found positive, and that's that not necessarily bringing all the linebackers on the inside. I thought Sutton experimented well by putting them all on one side. It could have been they ended up dropping somebody out, but it could have been an overload situation with two pass rushers and Derek Johnson inside. Another concept that I think they have to come back to. And like you said, if it's because it's a poor offense, that's one thing. But they're concepts that if they throw them out a little bit more, I think they can get some things done with them. Maybe take a little of the pressure off of the secondary by doing that and keeping the quarterbacks occupied with what's going on right in front of them.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm not trying to sound pessimistic about the defense. I want to see him do it against a better offense. And they have that opportunity here in a couple of weeks. And they'll play the Chargers, who are playing much better as well, in 3 weeks. So they're going to have a test in back-to-back weeks, Oakland and L.A. So we will see how that goes. One of the other interesting pieces of NFL news today, you want to go ahead and touch base on that one?
Yeah, and I think it plays into what we need to talk about. We've touched on it a little bit, but this quarterback thing, the preview has happened in New York. Eli Manning is not going to start for them. It's got the second longest consecutive starting streak for quarterbacks, and they're going to end it because they've put him down in order to elevate Geno Smith, of all people, to the starting position in New York. And
well, did you see all the information that came out on this? It wasn't just because they wanted to elevate Geno Smith to the starter. It's they told Eli, we will continue to let you have your streak and you can start, but we're going to have Geno Smith play. And Eli told him, no, there's no reason. And I mean, that taints the record. That taints it. So there's no reason to do that. I mean, to me, this has just been handled horribly.
Yeah, the whole
Eli has not played well, but you're missing your top three wide receivers. You're missing some of your offensive line. How much do you have to play through? And he's really not had a lot of help consistently throughout the years.
And that's fair. The guy has been to a couple of Super Bowls. I think he's done fairly well in those situations. But this last couple of seasons.
Over the past couple of seasons is where I was going with that.
I'm with you. But this guy that I like to call Thick Pat Riley, I don't think he has a concept of what he's doing. Because if he thinks that, A, he gives their team the best chance to win by going with Geno Smith, he's going to be sadly mistaken, you know, by the third interception in the first quarter. But you can't take it.
You're calling only three?
I'm trying to be optimistic again. Remember, I'm in a good mood.
Okay. My bad.
But it also gives a message to your team that you've abandoned all hope for what you're doing now. And despite whatever you're doing, you have young guys on that team that need to see veteran leadership. You have young guys on that team that have to learn to be professionals, and losing is part of it. And I think it's just, like you said, it's been mishandled the entire way. And not only is this the latest mistake, I think it's the final mistake. And I don't think you'll have a Pat Riley around too much longer.
And I'm guessing by Pat Riley, you mean Ben McAdoo?
Yeah, that guy.
Okay. Just double checking.
Fair enough.
I really don't know what to make of this move. Eli Manning doesn't deserve to be treated by the Giants like this. It would be different if he hadn't done what he's done for them in his time. But like I said earlier, he hasn't played. I understand he hasn't played well, but they have nothing around him to help him either. And the worst part about that is, not only are you putting a guy like Geno Smith in instead of a guy like maybe Davis Webb, who, granted, probably needs help as well and probably isn't ready to start, but why make this move if you're not going to see a possible guy that's going to be your future? Geno Smith is not going to be the answer at QB there.
Right. And that's the thing. And that's what relates back to the Chiefs is, you know, at the end of the day, it has to be about who can win us a game and has a better chance to do it. And the discussion this week, and that we've touched on some ourselves, about what do you do with Alex Smith versus Pat Mahomes? That's what it comes down to, especially for the Chiefs. But, you know, where they're sitting right now, this division's up for grabs because of this slide. You have to go out and win games. And if that means Alex comes out, plays poorly again in the first half, it's my opinion they have to yank him and put Mahomes in for a half in order to win that particular game that particular day. Doesn't mean you have to start him every day out after that, but you got to get these wins or this season and all of its promise and all of its veterans go down the drain.
Well, I know where you stand. You know where I stand on this. Yes, he's played bad, but he's not going to get benched. Whether or not he should is another story, but Reed's not going to bench him. I would love to be wrong. But he's not going to get benched, and it doesn't help the situation that you have Pat Mahomes sitting on the bench. But man, Kansas City is in a prime position to go from being in the playoffs to not. So,
that's exactly where it may be coming from. Well, we're not going to spend any more time on that. It's up to the coach's decision on what's going to happen. And our continued prognostication about the quarterback situation isn't going to change anything. So, folks, we're going to leave you with that today. Seth will be with us tomorrow. We're working with Matt Derrick still. We have lots for you, and we're going to get ready for this Jets game. It is not a gimme by any means. Remember, check out draft.com and use the Locked On Chiefs League. You can draft with us and play a little fantasy for something new. So thank you for listening today. Stick with us tomorrow because we're going to have a ton for you, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.